Exodus chapter 23. I want to continue our study through the book of Exodus. And one of the prayer requests this evening was to pray for our president and pray for our nation. This particular chapter is, you could almost take and look at it as God's addressing things that are happening in the headlines from our country. And he's saying that things should not be done the way that they're being done in our nation right now. And he's talking about really one of the Ten Commandments that he gave to the nation of Israel. Also, bear false witness. And the whole concept that Jesus said you should, that the whole law is written up, you should love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Within that, the whole law is contained. One of the things that we see happening in America today is people bringing false accusation to try and destroy people that they want out of the way. And the Lord addresses this in the first portion of this, and then from there, in the last portion of chapter 23, he talks to the nation of Israel about coming and worshiping him. And there's a direct contrast between the two topics, but yet he's taking and showing people they need to take their eyes off of the world's way of doing things and approach it the way God wants us to. Let's begin by chapter 23, verse 1. Thou shalt not raise up a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. In these two verses, the Lord is speaking about dealing with justice and truth. And he's saying, what is to be important in the life of those who would follow him? Justice and truth, not lies and injustice. And as I was reading these verses, as I mentioned at the beginning of the message, you pick up the headlines today, and all that's happened this last week, General Flynn went before the court, and much of the thing is that people were recounting all the events that had transpired and how that the FBI went out of their way to do things that were not according to protocol, to try and deceive him, to try and get him to lie to them so that they could in turn bring charges and put pressure on him. And I'm reading these verses and I'm going, that's exactly what it's saying here. And then I read too, and I look at the people in our nation and the news media, and one turns on that just about every news station that you turn on, and all they do is misrepresent the facts and present things from a false perspective and join in a multitude that try and destroy individuals by bringing false reports. And I look at this, and that's exactly what God says we shouldn't do. And I look at the spirit of the world in which we live, and I look at the reasons that people want to do this. And I'm thinking, and as I was listening to one man talk about the events that are transpiring in our nation, and he was talking about why are they coming against all of these people that have anything to do with President Trump. And when it boils down to it, they can't find any real crimes that they've done that are really horrendous crimes. They find things that they may have done wrong, but I'm sure that everyone here, if they were under that type of scrutiny, they could find things that we have done wrong, that we maybe didn't pay all the tax we should have paid, or that we maybe didn't do something quite right. But they're putting all these pressure on these people, and yet there seems to be nothing with the main reason that they said they were starting the whole investigation of this, but they just want to get rid of the president. Then you would think, well, why do they want to get rid of the president? Well, what he's doing is he's bringing in things that really are aligning themselves in many areas with biblical principle. We studied last week about the importance of personal property and how God addressed that. Yet you see many people want people that have no rights to come in and just take over and get gain wealth gain part of our personal wealth to support them and just flood our borders, yet they want them to do that for political gain. And we see all of these things happening, and our president has stood against them, saying no. Well, what he's doing in many areas is standing for biblical truth, even though he may not know it, but many of those principles are based in the Bible. And you've got a world system that is pushing towards a one-world government where it wants to get rid of God, wants to get rid of our reliance and accountability to God. As we saw last week, we're responsible and accountable, and that's our things that God has called us to be. And as anyone would say, you need to become responsible and accountable to the one who has established the principles by which we are to live, and they're based in the Word of God. When one comes against it, they become a target. Well, the Bible says, and the Lord says, don't join with the wicked. Don't join with those who bear false witness. Don't join with those who would try to destroy. He says, because what their whole goal is to wrest judgment. That is, to wrestle away judgment and to wrestle away justice and to destroy the truth. So why would you want to join with them? And ultimately seeing that you're going to be accountable to God, if you do join with them and have actions, you will be accountable to the Lord. One of the things that made America different from any other nation is the fact that it was based, its founding fathers based the principles of our government upon the fact that every person in our nation, including the ones that had the most power and the greatest authority, all stood accountable to God. And that every person stood with the same rights under God and that the same accountability to God, and that those who had been given more responsibilities had more accountability to the Lord for the responsibility He had given them. This principle here that we looked at in the first two verses comes against and flies in the face of all of that. It desires to destroy truth by telling lies. It desires to destroy justice by bringing false witness and coming against one who would stand for truth and doing evil in the face of that which is righteous. He says in verse 3, neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in his cause. In other words, what he is saying in this verse is the unjust, it is unjust to favor a poor man simply because he's poor. And one of the things you're also seeing today is that very thing is being held out. And I was talking to someone today, and really people say, well, we're going to lift up the poor because of their cause, and when really they don't want people who do that, oftentimes use them to gain a power base so that those people will be there reliant upon them. I was talking to somebody, I said, you know, many politicians today have turned those that are disadvantaged into their new slaves, and they use them just as a slave. They don't want them to get out of their poverty. They don't want them to have any, because they gain political power, they gain prestige, they gain position, because these people place them there thinking they're going to get something for nothing because they're lifting up the fact that they're merely poor. The Bible doesn't tell us that it's the wealth of a man that's important, but it's his soul that's important. And that God doesn't look upon the social conditions, the economic conditions, nor the racial conditions of a person, nor the sexual, whether a man is a man or a woman. He doesn't look upon any of that, but He looks upon the human heart and what is the condition of the heart. And the heart is what needs to be dealt with. You can give people, someone said, well, you know what we need to do is just have more education, and that there wouldn't be any poverty. Well, if you don't change the heart, you've changed the person from someone who may be someone who steals by mugging someone on the street to someone who dresses in a suit and learns how to steal from a corporation that he's working for. If you don't change the human heart, you don't change the behavior. You may change the economic situation, but the real issue is the heart. And that's what God's saying here. It's not the economic condition that's the issue. The condition is the heart. And one needs to understand what the real problem is and address the real issue. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. Now here the Lord is getting into something that later on Jesus would tell us is something that flew in the face of the way that the Pharisees, when Jesus was living, would really have thought. Jesus, remember, said you should love your enemies and pray for those who despitely use you. This is exactly the same principle that God is showing to the nation of Israel here. You have an enemy, and his ox gets loose, and his donkey gets loose, and you find it. What do you do? Well, if you're with the world, you go, oh, I'm going to make it hard for him to get it back. I'm going to just drive it further. If it's driving, running away, trying to get escaped into the wilderness, I'm going to drive it out into the wilderness. Then he won't be able to find it, and it'll cause him pain. But the Lord says, no, you find your enemy's ox or ass and it's running loose, you get it and you bring it back to him. You show an act of kindness to those that you would have a real issue with and those that you don't, that are your enemy. Jesus said, by doing things like this, you're heaping coals of burning fire upon their head. Why? Because it brings guilt to their heart. Because they hate you and they are your enemy, but yet you're showing them love. I remember reading in the book that Bridget Gabriel wrote about growing up in Lebanon, and she'd always been taught that Israel was the enemy. Even though she grew up in a quote Christian home, I don't know if it was truly a biblical Christian home, it was probably more like a Catholic or Maronite Christian home, where they don't really believe the Bible, but they claim to be Christian. But she'd always been taught growing up that Israel was the enemy, and Israel was terrible, and the people, and the Israelites were an awful people. And then what happened is the Muslims came to Lebanon, and they begin to destroy everything in the country, and they begin to attack those that claim to be Christians. They begin to bomb her parents' home. And what happened is she ended up, her dad needed to have medical help. There wasn't any help available. They had to get him to Israel. It was the only place they could get help. And she was a young girl, and she got what money she could to go down and to take her dad to the Israel border. And they got an ambulance, and it was actually a relative of hers that was driving the ambulance. And she didn't know anything. She didn't know what costs were, and she just held out her hand with the money and said, "How much will it cost?" And he took a lot of the money and said, that should do. And he left her very little. He drove her to the border. When they got to the border, they were met by an ambulance from Israel on the other side of the border. She didn't know what she was going to do because she had hardly any money left. She got her dad into the ambulance, and they headed, and she told them, "I don't have any money." And they said, "Don't worry about it. We just want to get your dad to the hospital." They got him to the hospital. They took care of him. They didn't charge for his health, but they made sure they fed her. They made sure that she could stay with him. And she said, "These are the people that are supposed to be our enemies. These are the people that are supposed to be those that are out to destroy us." Yet, she said, "Here my own family member took advantage of me, and the Muslims that claimed to be Lebanese were attacking and destroying her family, and those that the people in Lebanon had told her were the enemies of Lebanon, she'd gone down there and they showed her nothing but kindness." And what it did is it began to change her whole attitude towards Israel. And what Jesus had talked about, that's how you change your enemy's heart, by showing them kindness and love, not by destroying them. And so he says here, bring it back to him. If thou see an ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldst forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. In other words, he's got his donkey and it's so burdened down it's ready to collapse, and you come along and you can help bear that burden. You take some of the burden off of his animal so it's not hurt or killed, and you bear the burden with him. Again, the same concept of showing love to those that would seek to destroy you. It's something you can't do without the power of God. But it's something that God showed to us, and that when we were sinners, He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in his cause. In other words, again, the concept of not judging someone simply because of their economic condition. Keep thee far from a false matter and from the innocent, and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. Again, don't identify with the wicked. Don't come against those that are righteous, and don't slay seek to destroy the righteous. And thou shalt take no gift, for the gift bindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. I look at what's happened in much of our government in the United States today, and you see that that word is true. What is he saying here about taking a gift? It's called bribery. It's called bribery. Later on, at the time of the judges, when the judges came to Israel, one of the things they weren't to do is to take gifts from the people. Why? Because they weren't to take bribes. They were not to be beholden to somebody because that person had given them a bunch of money, or they'd given him a gift, and all of a sudden he felt obligated to do what they wanted him to do. One of the things that has made many people very upset with our current president is he didn't take a bunch of PAC money to get elected. He didn't go and solicit a bunch of money from certain individuals and say, okay, you help me get elected to be president, and then I'll do this and this and this for you. Yet you see that's the standard way of politics in America today. And you see that many people will have their foundations, political people will have their foundations, and they want money donated to their foundations, which they in turn can control and use, and then they will send back favors, do favors for them when they have come to power. Our current president didn't do that. He's not beholden to people. He's trying to do what's right for the nation, and really what he's doing when he's doing that is flying in the face of those who live by this principle of taking and giving gifts and then doing favors in return.